The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How does GES explain eternal security in light of 1 Corinthians 15:2? Well, we're going to discuss it. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
You know, I bet people wonder whether this is a live show.
It is live.
Well, it is. For us, it is. But for the people listening, this is pre-recorded, and I don't know if we'll ever get to do a live show.
We're call-in questions.
Because that would be a radical change in our ministry.
I can just tell you, from my perspective, this is live.
this is
because you don't rehearse any of this with me.
So exactly. So,
and you don't even rehearse it with yourself.
I don't. I just surprise myself.
Tell us what you do. What do you do? You just did.
So, in order to replicate a call-in show where people would call in live and they just surprise you with a question, although I suppose they have handlers who filter out the questions beforehand. Well, I have a stack of questions to the right of me. I don't know. Maybe there's about 200 of these here. And I just pick one up and I look at it. And if I think it's good, I'll just read it for like 20 seconds. And if I think it's good, I'll surprise you.
Right.
So your answers and both of our answers really are, we're not rehearsed, not studied beforehand.
So if anybody think this sounds like we're talking live, we are.
Yeah, off the cuff, off the top of our heads.
It's off the cuff. It's... Every once in a while, we'll do a little bit of research because there's a lot of passages we need to look up, but that's maybe one out of 20 shows.
Yeah, like in the middle of a question, we might stop, and then we'll stop recording and just to kind of do a couple little bit of research and then come back.
Yeah.
But for the most part, this is just, you know, it's live to us.
I know. It's exciting for me.
Here's a question from Thomas, and Thomas says, how does GES explain eternal security in light of 1 Corinthians 15:2? This is a passage that often comes up. He says, it seems to imply that one must continue believing to be saved or prove you were never saved to begin with. Now, this is a question that comes up all the time, and maybe the first thing to say is, Thomas, you're absolutely right. 1 Corinthians 15:2 does say you must continue believing to be saved. But therein lies the question.
Right. Well, I would kind of state it slightly differently. I spoke on this at one of our conferences in around the year, I'm just guessing here, say around 2003, because my mentor, Zane Hodges, was in print arguing that what this text was basically saying, well, let's read it. Could you read 15, 1 and 2, and then I'll tell you Zane's view and the view I suggest.
Sure. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
Okay, now it says you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. Now the part about unless you believe in vain, as you go on in 1 Corinthians 15, the in vain part would be if Christ didn't rise from the dead.
Right. If he didn't rise from the dead, then everything we believe is nonsense.
Yeah, because 15:15 through 19 all says our faith is in vain. There is no hope. There is no life after death. When we die, we just die. That's all if there's no resurrection.
Yeah.
So that's what the last part of it's saying. But the part that Thomas is asking about is by which also you are saved or you are being saved if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you.
Right.
Zane Hodges argued that the words, if you hold fast, which is from Cut Echo, he said that refers to if you have believed.
Okay.
And he understood Cut Echo as a synonym for believing.
Okay.
Well, maybe it's possible. I used to hold that view, and I used to use that view when I was out speaking. And the more I studied this passage and the more I thought about it, the more I came to see that I don't think that's what Paul's saying.
Okay.
I think what he's saying, if you notice verse 1 ends with, by which you also stand. In other words, standing means remaining spiritually upright, remaining spiritually strong, not being swept by the tides of the world, and swept into a backslidden condition.
Okay.
And so when
so they've received it. So he says, you know, they've received this
meaning
word,
they've been born again.
And now they're standing in it.
Right. But if they stop holding it, they're no longer going to be standing in it.
Okay.
And they're also no longer going to be, quote-unquote, saved. But the word saved in 1 Corinthians, and this is what led me to the conference message I gave in around 2003, I came to see that in 1 Corinthians 5:5, when Paul says, I've delivered such one over to the Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit might be saved in the day of Christ Jesus,
yeah,
that's not referring to going to heaven or retaining everlasting life, because we don't have to respond well to church discipline.
Yeah.
In order to retain everlasting life. What that's saying is, Paul's turned this one over to Satan so that his fleshly impulses, in this case a man living with his, sleeping with his father's second wife, and so he's in a type of immorality not even known in the immoral city of Corinth, even among the unbelievers. And so Paul says that his flesh might be destroyed and his spirit might be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. Mm. Well, the word saved there means spiritually healthy.
Right.
And the day of Christ Jesus is used often in Paul to refer to the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
And so what it's saying is that you might be healthy at the judgment seat of Christ. You see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 3:15. He's talking about Paul and Apollos, himself and Apollos, and he says, even if some of our works are burned up, though we'll suffer loss, we will be saved,
yeah,
or spiritually healthy,
yeah,
in the day of Christ Jesus. That is the judgment seat of Christ.
And by the way, we recently did a series on this topic.
Right.
On salvation in five different New Testament books.
Right.
Based on an article that's going to be appearing in the autumn 2021 Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society.
Right.
And basically what you're pointing out is that salvation doesn't always mean salvation from hell to heaven or what have you. There are different meanings of salvation. And there's, in 1 Corinthians, it means spiritual health.
Right. And you see physical health in many passages. For example, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Let's sometimes translate, your faith has saved you, because the Greek word is sozo.
Right.
And in James chapter 5 and verse 15, he says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, will heal the sick. Mm. And so this is talking about a spiritual healing. And in 15, too, it's the same way. So what he's saying is, he says, by which also you are spiritually healthy. You are saved, that is, you are spiritually healthy if you hold fast the word which I preached to you. In other words, we can't abandon the gospel of Jesus Christ and remain spiritually healthy.
Right.
If you or I take our eyes off Christ, if we stop living at the foot of the cross, if we stop living in light of the empty tomb, if we stop living in light of the soon return of Christ, then we're going to cease being spiritually healthy. And that's what this passage is talking about. So, Thomas, this passage isn't at all about eternal security. This passage is about your health spiritually right now.
Right.
Because, Thomas, if you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what I know is true of you is that you will never die spiritually. John 11:26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die, no matter what comes up. But if you cease holding fast to the gospel message, well, then you're going to become a spiritually unhealthy person.
You're not going to be someone who can welcome Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. You're someone who's going to feel shame at his coming.
1 John 2:28, right. If we don't abide in him, we'll feel shame, according to 1 John 2:28.
And does the vanity have anything to do with that feeling of shame, the negative consequences at the judgment seat of Christ, or is that really different?
Well, Paul, all through his letters, you'll remember, talks about, lest I had run in vain. His fear was that when he ministered to people like the Galatians or like others, he could minister in vain if they were to fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted his ministry to be fruitful, not just for him, but for them too.
Because it's not just about getting people who are born again. It's God wants mature sons and daughters. He wants fruitfulness.
Right. He wants to say, the Lord Jesus wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And Paul wanted to hear that himself, and he wanted the people he discipled to hear that as well.
Right. Well, why do you think that Paul goes on to mention some doctrines, and why are those doctrines in particular important to standing?
Oh, you mean he mentions the death, burial, and resurrection, and then post-resurrection appearances?
Yeah, why that in particular? Okay. And he doesn't mention justification. He doesn't mention some other things.
Right. Well, that's a good question, and the answer, I think,
and that's a problem for anyone to explain.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the answer is because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the great resurrection chapter.
Okay.
In other words, 1 through 11 introduces the entire chapter, which goes 58 verses long, and ends with one of my favorite verses, by the way. Verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable." Remember, this goes back to 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Steadfast, I'm standing fast.
Yeah.
Immovable,
yeah.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There it is. You were talking about the vanity.
Yeah.
In the Lord.
Yeah.
And so the reason it's not in vain is because Jesus rose and we will rise. And Jesus is coming again.
Okay.
And he says we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And so he's looking to the rapture. And when the rapture occurs, we are going to gain glorified bodies and we'll appear before Christ. And if we've been steadfast, well, then our labor in the Lord is going to be highly rewarded. So right. The reason that we get these doctrines mentioned, but not other important doctrines, is because he's emphasizing the resurrection of Jesus. And in order for Jesus to rise, two things had to happen. He had to die and he had to be buried. Theoretically, he didn't have to be buried, but he did according to Scripture. Because Scripture said he would be buried in a rich man's tomb and he would rise from the dead on the third day. All of this was necessary, and that's what we stand in. But we could argue that other fundamental doctrines all build off of these doctrines.
So Paul preaches the resurrection because the resurrection shows us what our future is going to be and somehow highlights the accountability that we're going to have.
It does.
God.
It links straight into the judgment seat of Christ.
I also think about how Paul in Romans really premises Christian sanctification on the idea that we've risen with Christ positionally,
right.
And that's
right.
Important to living the Christian life. But maybe that's a topic for a different show. Well, I hope that answers your question, and if you guys want to hear our somewhat live answers to your questions, you know where to send them, radio@faithalone.org. Thanks for those thoughts, Bob.
Thanks.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode, we're going to talk about post-millennialism, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.